Aren't you glad you're on the winning side tonight? Praise the Lord for it. The winning side is the side of Jesus Christ. If you have Him, you are on the winning side, whether you understand it or not. Everything's looking on the up and up for the child of God. Amen. Let me let you know here that I've been told that Mr. H.B. Lawson is having surgery this Tuesday at Indian Path Hospital, so let's be much in prayer for him. Again, Mr. H.B. Lawson. Take your Bible tonight, turn to the book of Judges chapter 7, the book of Judges chapter 7. I have three series going on. I have an Old Testament book of Genesis, a New Testament book of Matthew, and then our topical series are the night scenes of Scripture. In other words, things that the Lord did at night. We've come to the next scene at night that God worked in a great way. Last time we preached on a night scene, we were in Judges chapter 6, with Gideon's fleece and all these kind of things. We come to chapter 7, and it's another night scene still dealing with Gideon and the Midianites and the Amalekites. This is the story of the battle of Gideon and his 300 taking down the 135,000 Midianites in the army. And tonight, this took place in and during the night. Now we're going to read today for our text. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 1 of Judges chapter 7. The Bible says, Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be, and of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I shall say, whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people under the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, Every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. Now this is a very familiar story of the Bible. And let me just kind of bring it up what's going on. Gideon is the leader of the army. He has 32,000 soldiers to begin with. But by the time God gets through with them, he doesn't have 32,000, he has 300. Compared in Judges chapter 8, I believe it's verse number 10, which tells us that there were 135,000 Midianites. Therefore you have 135,000 on one side and 300 on the other. That is an odds of 450-1. So tonight I preach to you on this subject, when the odds are against you. When the odds are against you. Let's pray together. I share this thought. Father, we love you tonight. Help us to preach this thought in a way that's pleasing to thee. Lord, I thank you for how you've revealed this to my own heart and my study, but Lord, I need your help to reveal this to these dear people. Lord, what a message this really is. Don't let me mess it up. Help me to make sense tonight. May you hide me behind the cross of Calvary and speak to our hearts. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now tonight we come to this chapter in God's precious word, and we see some wonderful truths come out for our help and our comfort. Now as we come to this chapter, we saw in the previous chapter, chapter 6, when Gideon was in distress and full of doubt, the Lord appeared to him, armed him for battle, and answered his doubting prayer. Now this chapter before us tonight is the chapter where the battle actually takes place. In other words, God was preparing Gideon for the battle in chapter 6. And this chapter 7, he's still preparing Gideon and the army, but this battle literally takes place in this chapter. Now remember, the Israelites had been in bondage to the Midianites for 7 years due to their own sin and their idolatry. The Lord comes to Gideon in chapter 6 to prepare him for the battle that was going to take place. And we come to chapter 7, we notice something very interesting taking place. Now notice in the opening 8 verses, I read the opening 7, but in the opening 8 verses, the Lord does something very unusual. He tells Gideon that the people with him to do battle with the Midianites were too many for him to give the victory to. And we see the number the Lord was speaking of, numbered 32,000. We get that from verse 3, because 22,000 went home. Whenever he said, if you're scared, go home, 22,000 left. And the Bible says there were 10,000 remaining. Now, we also know the Midianite army, as I've already said, who were going to have battle here, if you will, who they were going to battle against, they numbered 135,000 soldiers, chapter 8, verse number 10. Now, if you do the math at the beginning of chapter 7, 32,000 to 135,000, that is an odds of 4-1. In other words, if God sent them into battle with 32,000, then every soldier would have to take 4 Midianites down for them to get victory. However, we see the Lord coming to Gideon, telling him that the odds of 4-1 was not big enough. Now, put yourself in Gideon's shoes, friends. Therefore, the Lord began to narrow down the 32,000 Israelites for battle. First, we see those who were fearful were told to return home, and 22,000 returning, only leaving 10,000. Now, this made the odds now 135-1. In other words, once the fearful left, the odds went from 4-1 to 135-1. Can't you imagine Gideon saying, surely this is all he's going to do here? We see the Lord still wasn't finished, though. He came to Gideon and said the army was still too big for him to give this victory to. Therefore, they were to be taken to the water. And those who were to put their hand to their mouth and lap it like a dog were to be separated from those who bowed upon their knees, putting their face into the water. Now, once this happened, there were only 300 who took their hand and cupped it and lapped it like a dog out of their mouths. Out of their hands. Now, while there are different thoughts as to why the 9,700 were eliminated, so in other words, some people try to say that it's because they were careless and they didn't have any caution, but that's not the emphasis of this passage, friends. I'm telling you that there are good people who differ on this. The point is not why were the ones who stuck their face in the water eliminated. The point is that the army of 32,000 with odds of 4-1 has now been narrowed down all the way to 300 to 135,000, which is an odds of 450-1. There's no doubt that when all was said and done, the odds were truly against the Israelites in this battle. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, 450-1. The odds were against the Israelites. There was seemingly no way to victory at this time. It was seeming an impossibility. However, the Israelites, along with Gideon, they were soon to find out some major things during the time when the odds were against them. Now tonight, my friends, there may be somebody here listening right now that you feel as if you are currently in a situation where the odds are against you. I'm talking about a situation that seems impossible and there is no way of escape. There's no way to victory. It could be a marital situation. It could be a family crisis. Folks, it could be a personal sickness. It could be a financial hardship. I don't know what it is, but I know that these times when the odds are against you, it comes to every one of us, and it comes in different packages. Now, tonight, I want to focus on this. Now, get this. Whether you are currently in a situation like this where the odds are against you and it's 450-1, or whether you find yourself in a situation like that in the future. In other words, you are either in a situation in it now or you're heading towards one. Isn't that comforting news tonight, friends? Aren't you glad you came to church to be encouraged? I'm telling you that if God tarries and gives you life, you are either currently in a situation where the odds are against you, or you are heading towards one of those situations. And that being the case, there are several things to think about to help during this time. When you find yourself in a situation that it's seemingly hopeless and there's no answer and it's 450 to 1 and the odds are against you, here's the outline for you to remember. Here it is. By the way, before I even get to the outline, let me remind you that God is speaking every time the Word of God is opened. God is speaking to me. God is speaking to you. What is He trying to say? And I believe with all of my heart that God has given me the emphasis of this passage, that when the odds were 450 to 1, there were several things to help the Israelites. And I want to give these things to you tonight. Number one, when the odds are against you, first of all, there is a purpose to understand. There's a purpose to understand. Look at verse number 2 and read it with me here. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Notice this now, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now in this verse we see the Lord telling Gideon that the reason he put them in this situation, if you will, and that he was not going to use the 32,000 to defeat the Midianites, is that they would vaunt themselves against him, saying that their own hands were the ones that saved them. Now the word vaunt here means to boast. It means to glorify. Now get this. So important for you. If you don't get anything else tonight, you need to understand this first point. That when the odds are against you, there is a purpose to understand. There's a purpose to comprehend. In other words, the Lord was dwindling down the number of Israelites to make it, now get this, to make it to where He would be the only one to receive the glory when the victory came. See, when the victory would come, there would be no way for the people to vaunt themselves and say, look what my hands did. Look what I did. Look what I did to get me out of this. There was no way when God gave them this victory when they were at odds. I'm talking about the odds were against them, 450 to 1. No Israelite army man is going to say, look what my strength did. None of them were going to do that. God had them in this situation, and He was teaching them a great lesson. They were placed into a situation that only God could deliver them from it. This was a wonderful opportunity for the Lord to receive the glory due to His precious name. And may I say to you in the same way, when the odds are against you, this is an opportune time for your God, who you know if you're saved, to receive the glory that's due His precious name. He works during times of seeming impossibility. Consider the story of the raising of Lazarus in John chapter number 11. Remember, I've said this so many times here, I can say it in my sleep, but I'm going to say it again because it applies right here. If anybody was in a situation where the odds were against them, it was Mary and Martha, because their brother died, friends. It was over, so they thought. They sent for Jesus Christ when Lazarus was only sick. This is in John chapter 11. But the Bible says he waited right where he was for 2 days. So when he finally stepped in town, Lazarus had died and been buried in the grave for 4 days. And just like I've told you before, in my study when I preached on that, on when all hope is gone, back in this day it was being taught that when somebody died, the spirit would hover around the body for 3 days. Now you know that doesn't happen. Jesus knew that didn't happen, but could it be that he didn't want anybody to have any question about anything? And so when he showed up, it was being taught that after the third day, when the fourth day came, the spirit realized there was no hope. I might as well leave. I cannot get back into this body. And that's when all hope would vanished. That's the very day that Jesus Christ stepped on the scene. And you know the story. He told Mary and Martha, said, where's the tomb? And he told them to roll away the stone. And I'm telling you this, that when he called Lazarus forth back from the dead, the dead man came forth. And I'm telling you that it was the only time, listen to me, it was one of those only times when no man would receive any glory for something like that. Only God would get glory for something like that. And may I tell you that when you find yourself in a time when the odds are against you, I'm talking about it is an uphill battle. There is no way that you can get victory in this. There's no answer outside of this except the Lord Jesus Christ. When he steps on the scene and he delivers you through those times, then you don't get the glory. Man doesn't get the glory. Church doesn't get the glory. God gets the glory. And this is the purpose to understand. When the odds are against you, there is a purpose to understand, and that is God is working. God wants to be glorified. God wants to be praised. And many times he uses these times when the odds are against you to be glorified and praised in your life and in mine. Therefore, if you find yourself in a time when the odds are against you, God is not limited by difficult situations. He can work and perform miracles if he so desires, and you could be in that place where God wants you to be so he can deliver you and manifest his glory through you. I'm telling you, this is the purpose to understand. God comes to Gideon, first of all, and he says, Gideon, the 32,000 are too many, because if I deliver them into your hand, they will think it's their own strength, and I share my glory with nobody. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Ephesians 3:29, to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. When the odds are against you, first of all, we notice there's a purpose to understand. Secondly, we notice when the odds are against you, secondly, there's a promise to claim. We see this in verse number 7. Notice the language here. It says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you. Notice verse number 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto Gideon, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. Let me ask you a question. Was that all Gideon needed? Yes or no? I'm talking about should it have been all that Gideon needed? Yes, but read on. Look at verse 10. But this is still God speaking. Shows you the tender care of our precious Savior. God has given him a promise in verse 7. He's given him a promise in verse 9. He said, by the 300 will I save you. And also in verse number 9, he says, I've already delivered them into your hand. He promised him that. But notice what God said to him in verse 10. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. Now, folks, I don't know if you saw what I just read. Here's Gideon. He's in a time when the odds are against him. God has stepped in and said, I have a purpose in all of this, and it's that I get the glory and I get the praise. But I want you to tell you something right here, Gideon. I've already delivered I'm talking about the Midianites into your hand. I promise you, you have my word. But if you're scared, you see him tenderly dealing with Gideon. But if you're still scared, take Phurah, your servant, and go down, and you're going to hear something that's going to give you strength. What did Gideon say? I don't need that, God. All I need is your word. That's not what he did. The Bible says, and Gideon went down. You know what Gideon's saying? You better believe it, I'm still scared. I'm scared. I'm scared out of my mind. God, you're crazy. You're telling me that 135,000 and you're going to deliver them, I'm talking about into 300 men's hands. God says, listen, if you're still scared, even though I've given you my promise, I'm going to send you somewhere where my promise is going to be confirmed to you. Then he goes on in verse number 12. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. Their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his servant answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Don't you see what's taking place here? In verse number 7 and then later on, we see that God is giving Gideon a promise to claim. He's giving him a promise in this time when odds were against him to claim. And I'm telling you, the Lord, with the battle on the horizon, gave Gideon something to latch on to. Gave him his word. One would think that that would be all that Gideon needed. However, we see the Lord telling him if he was fearful to go down, to go down with fury and go to the host, and he would hear something that would build his faith in the promise that God had given him. Like I've already said, Gideon was fearful and took fury down to the host of the Midianites, where he heard a man tell a dream he had, in which a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of the Midianites and knocked a tent down and overturned it that the tent lay along. Then he heard one of them say, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the hosts. See, it was brought out here with this use of the barley cake. I'll say more about this later, but it was brought out here that it was not going to be Gideon's strength to bring the victory. It was going to be God's strength. And once Gideon heard this, he returned to the host of Israel and told them and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. The point is, it took Gideon a little while. It took him a while to get there. But he finally, after much patience from the Lord, came to the point where he claimed the promise the Lord had given him all along. How tenderly the Lord dealt with Gideon. God didn't have to send him down to that host. God could have jumped on him and said, listen, I've already told you. I've given you my word. What are you scared about? What are you fearful of? God knew he was scared. He knew he was fearful. So he tenderly put him in a place where he could latch on to the promise that he had already been given him in the first place. When Gideon heard this story, his heart was comforted and his faith was strengthened. And my friends, when you find yourself in a place when the odds are against you, this is a wonderful time to saturate yourself in the Word of God and let the promises of God resonate in your heart and reach out by faith and claim the promises of God. What a time for God to give you promises when the odds are 450 to 1. Let me just give you some of these promises that he gives to people who are in need. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Bible says in Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, one of the things that people do, which is such a terrible mistake whenever they're going through trouble, when trouble hits them and the odds are mounting up and it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse, before they know it, they stop reading the Bible. They stop coming to church. And may I say to you that that's some of the worst things you can ever do when you're at a time when the odds are against you. When the odds are against you, my friends, there's a purpose to understand. God wants glory through it. But there's also, listen to me please, not only a purpose to understand, there's a promise to claim. That no matter how bad it gets, the promises of God are still true. And you can claim them through those times of trouble. That doesn't mean that God's going to remove the trouble, but he will keep his promise to you, and his promises can carry you through the storms of life. Then there's a third thing that you need to understand, and I need to understand. When the odds are against you, not only a purpose to understand and a promise to claim, but number 3, there's a praise to give. We see this in verse number 15. I've already read it. But after Gideon heard this dream, notice what he did in verse 15. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshiped. He worshiped. Once Gideon received assurance in his own heart about the promises of God given to him, the Bible says he worshiped. You know what that word worship means? It means to prostrate yourself. It means, and it carries the idea that he fell out prostrate before the Lord and he gave his God all the praise. Now, friends, listen, the point I see here is the victory had not been given yet. The battle had not taken place yet. He's still staring 450-1 odds in the face. I mean, the battle is on the horizon. But God brought him to the point that during that troublesome time when the odds were so much against him, God brought him to the point where he's now claiming God's promises. He's believing the Word of God. He's having faith in what God told him. And when he finally believed God, the Bible says that before the battle ever took place, he fell prostrate and he gave God glory and he gave God praise. I hope you see what I'm trying to say here. That when you find yourself in a time when the odds are against you, the Lord is looking for somebody who will say, it hurts, it's bad, I don't know the answer, I don't know how it's going to work out, I have no idea what's going to take place, but I claim the promises of God and I will worship Him and I will give Him praise and I'll give Him glory. God is looking for people like this. Easy to preach this, hard to live it, my friends. The classic example of this is a man by the name of Job. And this is the story, if you remember the story, that in chapter 1, after the Lord was approached by the devil, great mystery. That's one of the great mysteries of Scripture. Don't even try to figure it out, friends. And the devil says, does he fear you for naught? Is Job serving you for naught? Is it not because you've been so good to him, God? Turn me loose on him. Let me touch his family. Let me touch him. Let me hurt him. And let's see if he's still praising you. God said, okay. You can touch everything he has, but don't touch him. Now, you know the story. You're listening to me. The devil touched everything he could. Amen. He touched everything God gave him permission to touch. He doesn't care about anything that you have. He hates you. He hates your family. He hates every. God had to tell him, don't you touch him. Or he'd have touched Job at this time too. And when he lost his possessions, that was bad enough. The cattle's gone. All these things are gone. This is all coming to him, just one right after another, right after another. Finally, they come and say, oh, by the way, all your children are dead. Every last one of them are gone. Tragic. And yet the Bible tells us in Job chapter 1, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm cut. We think our life is so bad when we have a hangnail. We think our life is so bad when one person criticizes us. And here's a man who lost everything he had, and yet through it all, he gave God praise. That's not natural, friends. But this is the same type of thing we see in Judges chapter 7. When the odds are against you, there's not only a purpose to understand God wants glory. There's not only a promise to claim He wants you to take Him at His word. There's also what we're talking about here is there's a praise to give. God wants you in the midst of your trouble as you're staring down the Midianites with 135,000 members. They're like grasshoppers, the Bible said, for multitude. It looks impossible. It is terrible. There's no answer. At times like that, God wants you and I, by faith, to prostrate ourselves and give Him praise. That's not the only thing. We see the final thing tonight. And that is when the odds are against you, there's not only a purpose to understand, a promise to claim. And friends, there's not only just a praise to give, but there are principles to learn. There are principles to learn. Matter of fact, I see four of them in this chapter as we consider and kind of summarize what we're talking about. There's some great things that come about here that when you find yourself in a time when the odds are against you, keep these four principles in mind. These are the principles. Number one, keep on obeying God. Keep on doing what's right. Keep on taking orders from headquarters. Now, I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but if you're taking notes, just write down verses 2 to 13. Verses 2 all the way down to verse 13. And when you read that, it's brought out in this chapter how Gideon did everything the Lord told him to do. Everything. He obeyed the Lord telling him to tell the fearful to go home. He obeyed the Lord telling him to take the rest down to the water to try them there. He obeyed the Lord by sending the 9,700 home and only leaving the 300. He obeyed the Lord even when he was fearful by going to the host with Phurah. In other words, he was scared to death. His faith wasn't great here. We know he was a man of faith, Hebrews chapter 11. But his faith wasn't great here. God was working on him. But the point that came out whenever I'm talking about their principles to learn is that no matter how bad it got, and no matter how awkward it was, and no matter whether it made sense to him or not, he just kept obeying God. He just kept doing what God told him to do. I mean, God said, okay now, son, listen. Boy, I've told you, I'm going to give this. But if you're scared, I'm telling you, go down there. You know what he did? He went. He said, okay, now listen to me. This is earlier. He said, the 32,000 are too much. You go tell them, if you're scared, go home. That's exactly what Gideon did. If you're scared, go home. You can read it yourself. He comes back and says, the 10,000 are still too many. I can imagine his heart skipping a beat right there. What? He said, there's still too many. Take them to the water. I'm going to try them for you there. And God said, the ones I tell you to keep, you keep them. And the ones I tell you to send home, you send them home. And that's exactly what Gideon did. The point I'm trying to make here is that if you find yourself in a time when the odds are against you, folks, just keep on doing right. Just keep on obeying God. Keep on doing what God's told you to do, no matter how you feel, whether you're peaceful or whether you're scared to death. Just keep on saying yes to the will of God. That's Gideon. 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. We're noticing when the odds are against you, these principles to learn. Principle number one, just keep on obeying God. Principle number two, God's power makes all the difference. No question about it. We see this in verse 13, the cake of barley, and in verses 16 to 21, when all they had was a trumpet, a pitcher, and a light. Now in this, we see principle number two, God's power makes all the difference. First of all, let's deal with the cake of barley, where the dream, I'm talking about the man telling the dream, says, I saw and behold, a cake of barley came tumbling down the hill. And when it hit the tent, it demolished it. Now listen to me. This is a powerful thought right here. You know what that word cake means? It means a round, thin, biscuit-sized something. That's what it means. And this biscuit-sized piece of barley knocked an entire tent down. That represents something weak knocking something strong down. By the way, barley was usually the bread of poor people and the bread of beasts. Gideon was known as a man who was poor in chapter 6, remember? and possibly despised. He said, I'm nobody in my father's house, yet God was going to use him to bring a mighty victory. See, this was reminding Gideon that God can work through the weakest of men if they are but surrendered to him. The Lord was pointing Gideon's faith to his strength. Gideon was fearful, but the Lord was tenderly showing him it was not the size of the army, but the strength of his God that would bring the victory. A cake of barley could never beat down a tent. Could you see a biscuit? Honestly, this is almost comical. Here's a mighty tent, the Midianite army inside this tent, and lo and behold, here comes a biscuit rolling down the hill. Just a biscuit coming down the hill. And when it comes, they say, well, that's nothing good. Just go out there and eat it if you want to, whatever the case may be, you know. But when it hit the tent, it leveled it. Now, what is God saying in this dream? He's saying this, listen, that cake of barley could never beat down a tent, but with the power of God it could. See, if Gideon would claim this promise of victory, he was going to see the mighty power of God in a wonderful way. Someone said it's not our lack of strength that hinders God working in us. Rather, it's our lack of submission to his will. This same principle that God's power makes all the difference is also brought out in the fact of how the 300 only had a pitcher, a lamp, and a trumpet to do battle with. Gideon divided the army into three groups and surrounded the Midianites below. When Gideon made the first move, the rest of the army was to do as he did. And in the middle watch of the night, Gideon and the others blew their trumpets, broke the pitchers, and shouted, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Notice here that even though the dreamer, when he told the story, he said, "This is none other than the sword of Gideon." But when Gideon shouted, he didn't say, "The sword of Gideon." He didn't say that, friends. He said, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." I'm telling you here that when they did this, the Midianites went into chaos in the darkness of night, and in the dead of night, they just began to swing and so on, just trying to protect themselves, and the whole time they was killing each other. And by the end of the chapter, a great victory had been won. And friends, it wasn't Gideon or the 300 who brought this victory, but it was the power of God through them that brought the victory. By the way, they didn't complain with what they had. They used what they were given in this battle, and God used it to bring this victory. You know, instead of complaining about what we do not have, let's rejoice in what we do have and trust the Lord to work with those things in a mighty way. Somebody put it this way, we can indeed accomplish much more than we think if we will only stop complaining of what we do not have and start using wisely what we do have, though what we have does not seem like much. It's not what we have, but the power of God that makes the difference, friends. If you have God's power, you have all you need. No wonder the Word of God tells us in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God also told Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. This is why Paul said, most gladly therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. We're looking at these principles. Just two more, we'll be done. Principle number three. Principle number one. Keep obeying the Lord. Principle number two, God's power makes all the difference. Principle number three, stand where the Lord has you and do not be moved. We see this in verse 21. Notice it. Well, the Bible says, and they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. As the Lord was performing this miracle and taking and winning this victory down in the valley, we see these Israelite men, what are they doing? Are they running into the battle? No. They're standing firm right in the place that God had them. This means they were present, they served, they endured, they remained. That's all in that word stood. It means they were present, they served, they endured, they remained in their place of responsibility. My friends, when the odds are against you, find the place God wants you to be. Stay put. Don't be blown away from the will of God for your life. Stay put in the will of God even when the winds of trouble are blowing against you. Then there's a fourth principle. We close with this. It's going to take me just a few minutes to close, but we close with this thought here. We're coming to a close. Principle number four is this. Some things have to be broken before they can become useful. Some things have to be broken before they become useful. We see this in the trumpets in verses 19 and 20. Notice it. So Gideon, 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers. The thought here is one part of the plan they followed was to break the pitchers in their hands. And when they did this, it would help bring about the victory by the mighty power of God. M.R. Dehaene put it this way in his book on broken things. He emphasized the value of broken things when he said, and I quote, "Before a thing can be made, it must first be broken. Before the house is built, the tree must be broken down. Before the foundation can be laid, the rocks must be blasted from their quarry bed where they have long laid in peace and quiet. Before the ripe grain can cover the fields, the soil must be broken and beaten small, and the cutting blade of the plow must turn over the sod, and the sharp teeth of the harrow pulverize the soil." It could be that this time when the odds are against you, that this is a time that the Lord is using to break you so He can use you in such a wonderful way. As I conclude this message, in this chapter, we once again see our mighty God doing something wonderful during the night. Throughout this chapter, we see the Lord testing Gideon's faith and pointing his confidence to him, not an army. And in this chapter, we see that even though the odds were against this army, God was not against this army. He was for him. They were weak in number, but they were great in the power of God. God had made it to where He only could give the victory and receive all the glory. Therefore, when you find yourself in a time when the odds are against you, I'm trusting the Spirit of God to remind you of the story of Gideon and the victory God gave him when the odds against him were 450-1. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7 and following says this, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake." Paul said, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." God broke Gideon's army down before He ever gave him the victory. And may I say that when the odds are against you, God wants to do something great. So He gets the glory. You have an opportunity to claim His promise, give Him the praise through it, and learn the principles in it. May God help us to remember this. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Help us to trust You and to believe You. And no doubt in a crowd this size, there are those who are sitting here tonight, and they're in a situation right now where the odds are against them. Seemingly impossible. They don't know which way to turn. Give them victory tonight. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared there. Let me ask you a question. I never want to bypass this question. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? When I'm asking, are you hope so or think so? I'm asking, do you know the Lord as your Savior? Are you truly a Christian? Have you been saved? If you haven't, or maybe you don't even know what I'm talking about, why don't you come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel and how Jesus died for you, was buried and rose again, and did it all to give you an opportunity to trust Him as your Savior. Man with a man, lady with a lady, will help you with this. Or maybe tonight I want to ask this question. How many of you find yourself right now in a place? It could be something that only you know about. It could be a family situation, a personal situation. It could be something with a family member. I don't know what it is. It's none of my business what it is. But how many of you tonight say, Jody, I am now in a place, I'm in a place right now, I'm in a place right now where the odds are against me. I'm in this place. Gideon was in a place where it's 450-1, seemingly impossible. The odds were against him. How many of you tonight say, Jody, I'm in that place. It could be a financial thing or anything like that. You say, pray for me. I'm in that place when the odds are against me. They're against me tonight. I'm sitting here and this is me. The odds are against me. How many of you be honest about that? Would you raise your hand big in the air with mine all over this auditorium? You say, this is me. Oh, that's a lot of hands. God bless you. Put your hands down. In just a moment, I want to invite every one of you to come to this altar. You say, Jody, do I have to? No, you don't have to. This is between you and the Lord. But I believe the Lord would have you to come. I really do. And as you come, I want to guide you. As you pray, I remind you that there's a purpose to understand. God, through whatever that is you raise your hand about, He can get glory and He wants glory through it. Claim the promises that He has for you through it. No matter what happens, give Him the praise. Say, God, I don't understand this maybe, but help me to look up and trust You and believe You. And I want to give You glory tonight and praise. Keep on obeying God's commands. Seek the power of God in it. That's what makes all the difference. Stand where He has you and don't be moved. And realize that some things are more useful broken than completely whole. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help this message to resonate in our hearts. Help people to respond. Help them to step out and get help in time of need. May the will of God be done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Some have already responded. As Brother Gary sings, why don't you be the next to step out of your place and come to this altar and say, God, the odds are against me. Would you help me? Help me in this time. Help me in this time. Help me to be faithful and take this message and order it. Listen to it online again and put these things in practice. As Brother Gary sings, come on. People have responded already. Why don't you be next? Come on, folks. Come talk to God about it. Say, God, the odds are against me. The odds are against me. I need help. 450-1. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to take care of this. There's no answer outside of the Lord. May God help you. May the Lord help you.
Yielded and still.
There's time for you. I hope right now that you're doing business with God at your seat. I hope you're doing business with Him in the quietness of your heart. May God help you. May the Lord help you. We're playing through. We'll sing another to close here in just a moment, God willing. But if you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. It's encouraging to me to realize that God is never outnumbered. Do you understand that statement? God is the majority. It doesn't matter if the odds are 450 or 4,500-1 or 4,500,000-1. It makes no difference. If God is on your side, you're going to make it, friends. You're going to make it. And it's one of those things that during these times when the odds are against us, and by the way, I remind you, you're either in one of those times tonight or you're heading that direction. And if you're not there tonight, praise God for it. But when you find yourself in it, remember this message. There's a purpose to understand. God wants praise. There's a promise to claim. He's given you something to carry you through that storm, but you've got to go find it, locate it, and let Him speak to your heart. Even when you're fearful, just keep on obeying God. Give Him the praise through it, no matter how hard it is. If you don't understand, you're scared half to death. somehow through it get to the place where you worship God. Keep on doing what God's told you to do. Stay put where God has you. Realize that God's power is what's going to get you through it. Not that He's going to deliver you out of it, but His power can either take it out of your life or take you through it. It doesn't matter which way. And through it all, I'm not encouraged with this because there's so many men of God who've made this statement. And compared to many of you folks, my wife and I have gone through very little. We've gone through some things. I guarantee your wife going under the knife for 5.5 hours, that keeps you on praying grounds. But compared to many of you all, we've not gone through much. We've gone through some things. Do you know what the Lord's doing through all of it? He breaks us. But you know the great thing about our God, the potter in Jeremiah chapter 18, I know He's talking about the nation of Israel, but you can apply it to your life. That even when the pottery is marred in the hands of the potter, He doesn't throw it away. He just starts all over again. Sometimes you have to break it to fix it. You get it? I trust that you're getting this. You'll take it home with you. Chew on it. Meditate on it. Brother Gary, let's just sing that first verse again. If nobody else comes, we'll be dismissed. Let's sing this together, shall we?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting,
if you wouldn't mind, some of you men to come, let's pray with Brother Cash. What a mighty prayer warrior we have right here. God's been good to him. We want to pray for he and his precious one. Ask God to be with him. He's going through a major trial in his life. Praising God all the way through it. Let's pray with him. This will be our closing prayer, asking God to meet with us in a great way. Brother Gary, if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to have you come and just pray here over Brother Cash. This will be our closing prayer for tonight.
Your help